When I get to heaven, I'm going to sing just like that. That's how it's all going to come out. Doesn't come out anything like that now, but I'm going to sing just like that. Let me let you stand and stretch your bones 1 minute. Let me stretch your bones. Here's what I want you to do. Look around you. Look to your left. Look to your right. And then pick the ugliest guy around you and shake his hand, all right? Just get the ugliest guy around you and shake his hand. Now tell him you love him. Tell him you love him. But also tell him, praise the Lord, you don't look like him, all right? Oh, God bless you, men. You may be seated. You may be seated. Brother McCracken, thank you. Thank you for that message. Can I tell you what I have found in our ministry 1,000 times over? Nothing destroys like bitterness.
Yeah.
It is a spiritual cancer.
Yes, sir.
That no one can handle. And by the way, that's why God forbids it.
Amen.
There is no such thing as a good, bitter Christian.
Yeah.
Because you understand, when you read the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, bitterness knocks every one of them off. Wow. But it starts small.
Oh, yeah.
And we all think we can handle it.
Yeah.
How many of you know some people that are a royal pain? Hold your hand, you know some. Yeah. How many of you got some of them in your own family? Yeah. How many of you are sitting next to one right now? There you go. Oh. Can I tell you what I have found? The world is full of people that's hard to like, let alone love.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yet we are commanded by God to love them.
Right.
You can't love and be bitter.
Right. Right.
You can't do it. Boy, that message helped me. How many of that message helped you tonight?
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Now, I don't know who Bubba is. But he's got a sidekick somewhere named Bubba.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what I'm amazed. Watching him go up and down these steps.
Amen.
Number one, I'm waiting for him to split his britches. All right? I mean, that's a big step. But number two, I'm thinking, I hope they got 911 on tap, because I'm telling you, if I went to do that, we'd be at the hospital finishing this service. Thank you for showing honor to this precious lady. I'm afraid sometimes we show honor to people because it's expected. And that's not particularly wrong. But it can quickly just be a habit. This lady deserves honor. Let's thank her one more time. Thank her soundly. My soul. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5. I'm not going to preach at length tonight. I will be done. It's 9:05. I'll be done by 9:30 in the Hawaiian time zone. All right. So. I just want to assure you. But boy, I'll tell you, I was blessed by everything that's gone on. The music. I enjoyed that brass and the choir, just every bit of it. And praise the Lord for 20 years of faithfulness.
Amen.
Amen.
Tonight, for the next couple of minutes, I want to talk to you about what is unquestionably the most powerful thing in the universe. There's nothing that even comes close to being as powerful as this. You say, Brother Gibbs, what do you think the most powerful thing in the universe? Without any doubt, the most powerful thing in the universe is prayer.
Right.
Do you understand? Prayer moves the arm of the Almighty.
Yep.
The God who says to you and the God who says to me, there is nothing impossible. Nothing. It's only impossible with men. It's never impossible with God. And that God both commands you and invites you to pray.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I want to talk about this tonight is because I became very dissatisfied with my own personal prayer life. Let me tell you what was happening to me. I would pray, and it didn't surprise me at all when nothing happened. And so I'd pray again. And after a while, I'd say, well, I don't know. Maybe it's just not going to. I don't know. And you know what we've got all across our land? Wonderful men, wonderful Christians who have no power in prayer.
Come on.
If we had to get a hold of God tonight, if we needed somebody in this room who has power with God, I wonder if you could hold your hand and say, I'm that man. It ought to be every one of us.
Right.
James chapter 5, I want you to read a short passage of scripture. Starting, if you would please, at verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now, do you understand? This is God talking.
Mm-hmm.
And God says every uncertainty, every fear, every uneasiness you've ever had, he had.
Right.
He was subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. One man prayed, and God unsynced the weather of the universe. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I want you to quickly jot four things down. Four things that are absolutes if we're going to have power in prayer. And by the way, can I submit to you, there's no way to be the man God's called you to be without power in prayer. No way to be the husband, the father. No way to be the friend or the pastor if we don't have power in prayer. But God here gives four keys. Write the first one down. If you want power in prayer, the first key is this. You got to pray. Well, you say, Brother Gibbs, that's way too simple. No.
Yeah.
That's critical.
Yeah.
The Bible says, ask and you shall receive.
Right.
And then it goes on, James, the chapter right ahead of this says, and ye have not because ye ask not. Now that word ask that's used there in James, used two other places in Scripture, was the word for asking with specificity. What exactly are you specifically asking God for?
Amen.
Specifically. Don't be the least bit surprised that you don't have what you didn't ask for.
Right. Amen.
Good.
And God says, ask, and you shall receive. Now, I've never seen anybody any good at prayer that didn't have a great prayer list. And can I tell you why? Because without a prayer list, I think you're pretty much like me. I can pray without a prayer list, Brother McCoy, for maybe 10, 15 minutes, But I'm praying these general sweeping prayers. Oh, God, be with my family and my wife. Oh, God, help my dear wife and my kids and my grandkids. And, oh, God, America, help us in America. And God, our local church, oh, God, our pastor, and God, CLA. And you're not asking for one thing specific.
Come on. Right. Right. You're right.
Just what exactly do you want God to do? On my prayer list, I have 62 things I pray for my wife every day. Every day. Now, there's nothing on that list of 62 things peculiar to us. I promise you, if you read that list, you'd say, I want that, I want that, I want that, I want that. You'd say, I want that 62 times. There's only one problem. You're not asking.
Right.
What's on your prayer list for your kids specifically?
Amen.
What's on your prayer list for America specifically?
Yeah, come on. Yes,
amen. Or are we just going to believe in prayer?
Go ahead.
But be comfortable not asking.
Well, that's good.
I promise you, you can change your home. You can change your vocation. You can change virtually everything in your life through prayer. But you got to ask. Now, what I'm about to tell you is not in the Bible. Listen carefully. It's not in the Bible. Would be wonderful if it were. Would be great if in the Bible it said, as God's child, you get 10 miracle asks. You can ask God for 10 utterly impossible things. Not 11, 10. Choose carefully. You know what the number is in the Bible? Unlimited. What are you asking for that's impossible?
Amen, brother.
What are you asking for God to do that only God can do? My wife came to me, Brother King, and she said, we ought to have an impossible list we're praying for. And so we started. Do you know what, off of that list now, hundreds of things have been answered. Hundreds.
Amen.
Amen.
But you have not, because you ask not. I promise you, once you start a list, you'll never stop adding to it. I was listening to a preacher preach the other day, and boy, he said something, and Brother McCracken, I thought, how do I not have that on my prayer list? How did I miss that? Show me your prayer list, and I'll tell you all about your prayer life. Well, Brother Gibbs, I just don't think prayer is all that important.
Oh, yeah.
Really? You're commanded to pray without ceasing. You're commanded in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. What do you want God to do in America? We've all sat there and watched Fox News or some news outlet for an hour and just grind the porcelain off our teeth.
Yeah.
How many of you are upset with what you're seeing in our land? But have you ever prayed 1 hour for America?
Come on.
Ever? Have you ever prayed 30 minutes for America? Ever? And then we sit here like, I don't know how we got in such a mess. You have not, because you asked not. Prayer is the most powerful thing in the universe. I know when I get to heaven, The Lord's going to say to me, Brother Rule, David, why didn't you ask?
Right.
You asked for so pitiful little. Why didn't you ask? How many of you remember the name Lester Roloff? Hold your hand if you remember him. We were doing a trial, and I went down to his room, and he had papers everywhere, both beds, on the floor, on the table, on the papers everywhere. And I said, Brother Roloff, are these papers for the trial? He said, no, no, no. I said, what are all these papers? He said, this is my prayer list. I said, this is your prayer list? He said, yeah. David, I'm asking God for a lot.
Amen.
You know what? We want to fix Washington, but we don't want to fix us.
Yeah.
I promise you, God wants to answer your prayer.
Amen.
But you got to ask.
Yeah. Good.
Write the second key down. You got to do it earnestly.
Amen.
Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. Next word is earnestly. Earnestly. That word earnest means with intensity. It means with focus. It means with diligence. It means he was into it. Look at the verse right ahead of this. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man.
Right.
Availeth much. When's the last time you got fervent? You got earnest with God? Now, you can fake me out, but no one here fakes God out. And God says, you want your prayers answered. Number one, you got to pray. And number two, you got to get earnest. You got to get intense. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, it's on the wall at the Metropolitan Tabernacle to this day. It says, he who plays without fervency does not pray at all.
Wow.
Have you ever watched guys watch a football game?
Yeah.
When their team's in the hunt?
Yeah.
Brother Steve Kluth, wonderful man in our ministry, been with me 18 years, is here with me tonight. When Brother Steve watches a ball game, it's like he's on the field. I mean, he's like, stop him, what are you doing? I said, Steve, lighten up, it's just a game. No, it's not. And he's fervent.
Amen.
Has your family ever seen you earnest with God?
Come on.
Has your mate ever seen you earnest with God? We want power in prayer. We got to get fervent.
Amen.
But Brother Gibbs, I'm just not good at being out loud in that. Well, let me tell you, the story of Hannah going to the temple to pray for a son. You know what it says? She didn't say one word out loud, but she was so fervent in prayer, they thought she was drunk. And they rebuked her for being drunk, and she said, I'm not drunk at all. I'm just fervent with God.
Amen.
Oh, do we really want power in prayer? Number one, you got to ask. Number two, you got to get earnest. Write number three down. You got to get clean.
Amen.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, we're almost done tonight, but I want to ask you a beseeching question. When's the last time you got clean with God?
Come on now. Go ahead, brother.
Not cleaner. Clean. I'm telling you, Brother Schrock, I know 500 and maybe 1,000 times I went to the altar to get cleaner, but not clean.
Yeah.
I would go for what God was dealing with my heart about. But I didn't go up there saying, search me, O God. See if there be some wicked way in me. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from, what's the next word? All unrighteousness. If you're not clean, it's because you chose to stay soiled.
Right. Oh. Right.
D.L. Moody used to close almost all of his meetings by saying, do not walk out those doors if you're not clean with God. Because until you get clean, we're going nowhere. Brother Roloff and I were in a trial that was going poorly. And he had this horrible habit. He would call you like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And he'd always say the same thing. I didn't get you up, did I? And you'd lie. I mean, I'd say, no, I'm just sitting here praying, waiting for you to call. Right. He said, get down to my room. We're changing stuff today. Man, I'm in his room. It's not 4 a.m. yet. And he said, you know we're getting killed in that courtroom. He said, I got one lawyer, you. They got a dozen. They got unlimited money. We got no money. The judge doesn't like me. I said, yeah, the judge says he hates you. He said, what? He said, that jury, every time we look at them, they shake their heads. He said, but we're going to change it. We're going to pray.
Amen.
God's going to do the impossible in that courtroom today.
He's a lawyer, just so that you know.
He said, now if we're going to pray and get anything done with God, we got to get clean. And he thumped me on the chest and he said, I got to have a clean lawyer. And then he thumped himself on the chest and he said, you got to have a clean preacher. Because he said, this prayer time is a waste of time if we're not going to get clean. So he said, here's what I want you to do. You go over and get in that corner. And don't come out till you're clean. And he said, I'll go get in my corner and I won't come out till I'm clean. Now, no one had ever in my life talked to me like that. Never, ever. Man, I tried lawsuits all over America. No one had ever said, get clean. He said, go on, get over that corner. Go ahead. So I went and got in the corner, and I'll tell you what, I said, Lord, I don't know how to do this. But I said, here's the first thing. I'm not coming out of my corner till he comes out of his corner.
Oh, shit.
Because, Brother McCoy, it won't look good if I come out first. Now, do you understand? That's pride. So while I'm getting clean, I'm sinning in the process.
Oh, shit.
Now, all of a sudden, he starts praying out loud. And man, he's confessing sin. I'm like, sweet Alabama, listen to that. Wow. After about 10 minutes, he yelled at me. He said, I hear you confessing nothing. What are you doing? Now, by the way, if you're here tonight and you think you've got nothing to confess, that's the first thing you need to confess.
Yeah.
So you know what I did? I don't know if it's the right way. I said, God, I do not know how to do this, but I want to be clean. Do you want to be clean? Or do you just want to be a good act?
Yeah.
Do you understand? If we're not clean, all we are is an act.
Yeah. Right. Easy. You're right. Yeah.
And I said, Lord, boy, God started bringing things up I'd forgotten about. 2 hours went by like that. Finally, we stood up and he said, you clean? And I said, well, best of my ability. He said, okay, me too. He said, let's pray. Never forget his prayer. He said, now, God, you know the mess we're in. But he said, here's what I want you to do. Those lawyers, those 12 lawyers, I want you to turn them on each other. Make it where they don't like each other. Make it where they don't get along. God, make it where they really, really dislike each other. And this judge, get him good and sick. He said, don't kill him. But make it where he can't stay and do the trial today. And God will give you the glory. And he turned to me and he says, is that prayer okay with you, Brother Gibbs? And I didn't even close my eyes yet. I'm like, wow. This is getting downright personal. 8:30 in the morning. All rise, men. We stood up. Judge walked in. He said, you ready to proceed, Mr. Gibbs? I said, yes. Turn to the lead lawyer for the other side. He said, you willing to proceed? The lead lawyer, he said, Your Honor, we got a problem. The judge said, what's the problem? He said, last night, all 12 of us were in complete agreement about everything. And this morning, we can't agree about anything. One of the lawyers popped up behind him and said, we should never have sued that pastor. This whole lawsuit was a terrible idea. That preacher's done nothing wrong. The judge said, you out of your mind? The jury's in the box listening to this. And they started arguing. Finally, that lead lawyer said, I can't explain what happened. And Brother Roloff tugged on my sleeve. He said, you want me to tell him what happened? I said, no, because then you're going to tell the judge you better get to the hospital right away. I don't want to go there. 2 hours later, they dismissed everything. They paid all the expenses, and they gave written apologies to Reverend Roloff. When we walked out of that courtroom, people flooded me and said, oh, Brother Gibbs, you did such a good job. I said, you know, with all due respect, you don't know what you're talking about. You want to live seeing what you can do? Or do you want to live seeing what God can do? God. You want power, number one, you got to ask, you got to pray. Number two, you got to get earnest, fervent. Number three, you got to get clean. And write number four down, you got to persist.
Amen.
You got to persist.
Yes, amen.
You realize two of Jesus' parables were about persisting in prayer. The parable of the unjust judge where the widow kept asking and asking, and finally he said, because you keep asking, I'm going to grant it. And Jesus said, that's how I want you to be with your Father. Don't stop asking. He's going to answer. You just got to believe it. And then there was the parable of the man who got guests at midnight. And he went to the neighbor and said, you got to get up, help me. And he said, no, we're all in bed, go away. And he kept knocking and knocking and knocking. And finally he came down and Jesus said, that's how I want you to be. Keep knocking.
Amen.
Now it's in this story. You notice what it says. He prayed one time and God shut off the rain. And you know the story from Kings chapter 17 and 18. They're on Mount Carmel. And the prophets of Baal, and they're going to serve the God who answers by fire. And boy, the prophets of Baal can bring down no fire. So Elijah walks up there and prays, and down comes the fire. So it took one prayer to shut the rain off, and it took one prayer to bring the fire down. Now he's going to pray for the rain to come back. And if you read the story, don't miss this. He prays for the rain to come back, and he sends his servant out. And he said, tell me what it looks like out there. And the servant goes out, looks around, and comes back and says, no rain. Whoa, wait a minute. I thought you were the one prayer wonder. God loves it when by faith you believe he's going to answer. He prayed a second time, sent him out. No rain. He prayed a third time and sent him out. No rain. A fourth time. Sends the servant out. No rain. What if he'd have quit?
No rain.
What can you show me that you persisted in prayer for and didn't quit? Wow. He prayed a fifth time, a sixth time, but the seventh time when he sent him out, he said, there's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. He said, get out of here. It's going to rain like you've never seen before. The God of Elijah is your God.
Amen.
The God who answered his prayers wants to answer your prayers. But you have got to ask. And you got to do it fervently, earnestly. And you got to get clean. And by God's grace, don't stop asking. I don't know what you're dealing with in your life. You don't know what I'm dealing with. All I can promise you is we all have stuff, but only prayer is the answer. Only prayer. And by God's grace, prayer is the answer.
Amen.
Would you be ready to be the man who can get his prayers answered? It's time to ask. Father, thank you.
Okay. Well, I...